Do this, Blaine and Mickey, on a Thursday. How's everybody doing out there? Welcome into the program. We're going to be with you for the next couple of hours. Blaine is here. Mickey is here. Lucas Panzeca is back today. He is a talented dude, so he works his way all around the station performing various duties. So he was a morning guy yesterday instead of an afternoon guy, but he's back with us today. Lucas, are you fully recovered from your 4:30 wake up call yesterday?
90% recovered. I got like 9 hours of sleep last night. One more good restful night of sleep and I'll be back at 100. I don't know how those guys do it every day. I don't know if I know Blaine. I know you did it for years. I mean, that takes some getting used to.
Blaine's secret weapon is, though, he gets up at like 4:30 every day. So Blaine is like military precision.
You got to get used to it. And once you get used to it, it's kind of hard to get off of it. So it's not like I've tried to. Every now and then I can sleep till about 6:30.
I know we don't talk. Listen, you sleep until 6:30. Like, that's late. Like, Buck, you know, Buck is an early riser, too. He gets up super early. So he and Blaine can text back and forth while the rest of us get our sleep. I have trouble going to bed before midnight almost any night. Really? I just can't. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't sleep. I have to just wait until I'm completely exhausted, and then I go to bed and, you know, go to sleep there. Although I do seem to have a superpower of falling asleep on the couch at times too, just to my inner dad there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm knocked out by 11. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. But you know, some people be knocked out and blown away, that Albert Pujols now in his 10th season there, with the Angels, is being released after making $253 million.
Well,
that's going to be only fortunate, right?
No doubt. This, if you listen to the show, or if people know me, I'm a big Cardinals fan. I was actually there, Blaine, when he got his 2000th hit. I was in the crowd. I happened to be there for that night.
Did you get a picture?
Yeah, there's a picture somewhere, too, that I took, but I'm up in the stands, so I just took whatever picture you take from the stands, you know, where everybody's tiny on the field. But this dude, he's 41 years old. He's hitting 198 this year, which is better, actually, than a couple of the Cardinals who play moderately regularly. Listen to this. Albert Haynesworth has 3,000.
Albert Haynesworth?
Albert Haynesworth is not playing baseball. Albert Pujols, thank you. Albert Pujols. We talk a lot of football. I have to switch my football brain off. Albert Pujols has 3,253 hits. He has 667 home runs. His career batting average is .298.
Ooh.
So he's, listen to this. And that's not three-time MVP. He was Rookie of the Year. He was a 10-time All-Star. He won 2 World Series for the Cardinals. He won 2 Gold Gloves. He's not known for gloving it. He won 6 Silver Slugger Awards, a batting title. He was the MVP of the NLCS and the 3-time Major League Player of the Year. This dude is going to moonwalk into Cooperstown. I almost said Canton again. I can't get football off my mind. But here's the thing all Cardinal fans will wonder.
What?
Do you bring back Pujols for one final run through this season in some capacity to use some way or another? Do you bring back Albert Pujols? Because most fans would probably be all for it. I mean, that dude came back to St. Louis as a visitor and got the most unbelievable standing ovations for a whole series every time he batted. But man, he's hitting .198. I will say this, though. I will say this as a longtime Cardinals fan. There have been guys who came to the Cardinals late in their careers, very late, and got a nice little bump, nice little surge in their career before they finished up. So, you know, could he get there and hit .250 the rest of the way? He's got 5 home runs. I mean, he's still, right. when he hits them, they go a long way still when he hits them. But, boy, that'd be interesting. I mean, to bring back a piece of history like that, because he is going to go right into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. He's going to go right on the fence out there with all the legends and the retired numbers. And he's going to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. But, boy, what do you do? What do you do with him now?
Well, first of all, I don't think he's going to be moonwalking. He has problems with his feet. They're always aching. Yeah. They're always hurting. Well, if I was the manager, I would make sure, you know, ownership group, I would reach out to him and just see where he's at with it. To be honest, because right now, to me, I don't feel like I need to sign him for any reason other than that.
Right.
So it's not that I can't celebrate him another occasion as well. He doesn't have to sign with our team to finish his career to get his sayonara. I mean, he could be a guest at one of the games this season or next season to accomplish those things. I just would want to know, because in honor of him and what he did for this organization, what is his thoughts? What's important to him? And if it doesn't matter to him, then I probably wouldn't do it this season. Maybe I bring him in as a guest, but not as an actual player. So I just because I know he's a Hall of Famer and all that, I want to bother about, do you still want to play baseball? That's what I want to ask him. Do you still want to play baseball? I mean, or do you want to, you know, and if you do, we'll sign you, you know, and we'll bring you in and be our DH and those things. And maybe you'll play sparingly even at that time. But, you know, if you do, hey, I'm all in. If you don't, no problem. Hey, man, what do you think? What are you thinking about? You know, we want to honor you in some form or fashion. How do you feel about that, whether it's this year or next year? I'd love to get his feel, because you never know when an athlete, he may want to go sit on the couch right now, season's over, and say, you know what, I want to put my feet up, think about it, enjoy this process, and I'll get back to you. You know, people just, you know, think all athletes are the same. No, they're not. They're people too, and they think different thoughts. And, you know, Pujols is a great guy. We used to have him on, and or his representatives, I mean. And so I would really do that first and foremost, and then, you know, and then kind of go from there, really. So he's been with, you know, the Angels for a little while, but I'm sure he believes that he's a Cardinal, I would hope. So, so that's, I'm not real big on just signing him and then play him so he can go out a Cardinal. That doesn't bother me as much as, I know you're a Cardinal, how do you want to play this out? And because if the Green Bay Packers would have asked Aaron Rodgers if he wanted to draft Jordan Love, if they would have done that, and they would be okay right now and wouldn't be in hot water. Because if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm talking to them, they say, what do you want us to do? I'd be saying, okay, just let me know when y'all trade Jordan Love, and then we'll move forward.
You know who keeps talking about Rodgers is Terry Bradshaw. He just won't stop talking about Aaron Rodgers. He said this about Rodgers. He said he had the worst footwork of any starting quarterback he'd ever seen. Where did that come from? Why would you say that? When you watch Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you've watched a lot of quarterbacks' feet and their habits over the years. Do you think terrible footwork? I mean, to me, watching that guy step up in the pocket and throw all those bombs to Jordy Nelson where the pocket was kind of collapsing, and he did the thing where he steps up in the pocket and then throws that deep ball after giving it time to develop. I mean, I've never watched Aaron Rodgers and thought, boy, that's some terrible footwork.
Well, you know, Terry's a hoot now, and I'm going to say this. I'm not watching his footwork, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm watching the delivery and everything else. I'm not going to say he's fundamentally sound, but what Terry's looking at probably is he's not being functional like an ordinary drop back quarterback, like say Tom Brady. I always talk about he's throwing from different platforms, and sometimes his feet aren't even on the ground. So I could see how somebody could say, that's horrible footwork. Who could throw the ball with their feet off the ground? So I can see if they could say that. But most quarterbacks can't do that. So, sorry, Terry, but the ball gets to where it needs to be on time and from all kind of angles that are really special and talented. I would only put my homies in that category, really. If you want a conventional quarterback that drops back and release the ball, Tom Brady's your goat, him and Peyton Manning and all the great ones. But sometimes these real athletic quarterbacks can do really fascinating things. So I don't care what he's looking at, but all I know is says Aaron Rodgers, MVP, can throw from anywhere, any place, anytime, whenever he wants to. So ultimately, you know, Terry's also trying to get some clickbaits and conversations and everything else, but it's hard to, you know, really complain about his actual performance and his footwork. And and some athletes do get lazy because they're comfortable with how they can deliver the ball or run their routes or backpedal because they're so gifted.
Right.
So I can't say that he his footwork is great or is bad. I'm not watching him that closely. All I know is all I care as a coach, if I'm a coach, is the results. And the results are there. You know, people can complain about a DB. Oh, you should use the two-hand jam or should you use the one-hand jam? Well, if you put everybody in the same box, they're not going to be the same player. That means that player is supposed to be 6'2", 200. Well, the other guy is 5'10", 190. You think right. him having short arms is going to help him with the two-hand jam? See, so there's more ways to skin a cat. And that's kind of how I look at it. And, you know, Terry's looking at it as the old-fashioned, fashionable quarterback that drop back and, you know, has feet on the ground and throws the football. So that's really it. It's just, you know.
Imagine having, though, that kind of talent, Blaine, at the hardest position. I mean, if not the hardest, one of the hardest positions to play in any professional sport is NFL quarterback. Yeah. And guys like Rodgers and Mahomes don't even have to have their feet on the ground. Yeah, I mean, we talked about Mahomes who throws into the Super Bowl. He was getting driven into the ground and threw it and hit a guy 30 yards down the field in a face mask. Absolutely. Those aren't real people.
Incredible. Yeah, that. Yeah. I'm getting chill bumps when you say that because I remember watching going, that is freaking incredible. Yeah, I mean, it was so astonishing to his teammate that he didn't even think the ball would get there.
No, you surprised
him. He's dead in a mask. That's the kind of velocity the ball had on. Like, you didn't see the ball coming. Like, it was on its way, even though he was laying parallel to the ground. Coming. You just got to know. You better believe he's going to get it to you. So yep. That was like, whoa. Wow. These guys are incredible, man. Hey, that's something special, man. And you can't coach those things. And that can create some bad habits at times because you rely on it.
Right.
All the time. And as they get older, and Rodgers is older, it's not affecting him. 37?
Yeah.
Like, he's got a good 3 years in him. Easy. And on high level is what I'm talking about. So he's on that Tom Brady track. 43. And he's still, Tom Brady's still going. Maybe then he'll get his footwork to Terry Bradshaw. He'll have it together by 43.
Yeah, that 40 is going to need the right footwork. Yeah, it's funny hearing those. And Terry Bradshaw could flat out chuck it. But in those days of the NFL, you were throwing it 17 times a game. Yeah. And you were running it, you know, 28 times a game. And if you were like 51 or 52% completion, you were good. You know, maybe a little bit better than that. But it was a completely different game, and I loved that version of the NFL just like I love it now.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different world. The 70s were a completely different planet than NFL football now.
Has Aaron Rodgers thrown to a Hall of Fame receiver that you think possibly will be a Hall of Fame receiver? Because Terry Bradshaw threw the two.
Sure did.
Stallworth and Swan.
Yep.
So I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is thrown to any – Devontae maybe could be one, but they right. still kind of early in that track. But I don't know. I mean, I love me some Jordy Nelson, yeah. Randall Cobb, or shoot, man, you can go way back to Antonio Freeman. I don't think he's thrown to Hall of Fame. He makes the receivers better.
Sure That's does. We got to make ourselves better with an appearance from Zach Bingham from A to C Sports. We'll talk about this Aaron Rodgers thing with him and post-Titans draft thoughts and more. Bada Bingham joins us next on Blaine and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Here's the thing. You can come as you are to this show. We're happy to have you every day from 1 to 3. Zach Bingham joins us now from A to C Sports. Are you our brother? How do we say this?
Yeah, he's our brother from another mother.
There you go. Blaine's got it.
Blaine was ready for that.
Yeah, he was locked and loaded.
Okay. Our brother from another mother, Zach Bingham, joins us now from A to C Sports. Hey, you and Austin have the most searing, steamy hot takes. I'll give you a hot take topic right off the top, and this can just be off the cuff. Should the Cardinals re-sign Albert Pujols for the rest of this year because he just got cut in LA?
I just saw that. The alert came in on my phone and my wheels started turning. I didn't realize the Angels were that bad, but they are. And I don't know. That's it. It's kind of a nice full circle story if that is the case.
Yeah, well, full circle story of $253 million he made 10 years from there. Then the $200 million he made from the Cardinals.
Right. So,
He's a half a billionaire. I mean, God. Well, after taxes, about $250 billion.
Yeah, after California taxes are higher.
After taxes, fantastic. Well, I don't know, man. I'm a nostalgic old Cardinals fan, and the thought of Pujols and Yachty and Wainwright one last run, I'm telling you, man, that gives me goosebumps thinking about it. So I'm hoping they do that.
He loves for the love story to end nicely.
That's what I want. Yeah. I like a rom-com, and this is a rom-com of three people in love with each other, Yachty and Waino and Return of Albert. I want this to happen. Zach Bingham joins us. All right, we all wanted the draft to happen, and I'm curious to get your thoughts as we get started overall on the Titans draft.
I think diagnosing it after the dust has kind of settled, John Robinson was very deliberate in what he wanted to do and what he did do. And I think first and foremost, from this offseason, he had to completely redo the defense. And he did that through free agency. And then that was confirmed through all of their draft picks. And then, you know, in the second round, I think was the biggest shock of the draft, in which they take Dylan Radins from North Dakota State at that tackle position. That is amending the mistake that is Isaiah Wilson.
Had you heard of him before the draft, Zach? I don't want to cut you off, but you heard of him?
No. but that's not surprising. Like, sometimes that does happen. They obviously targeted and looked at the guys that were on their board. He was one of them, and they had to amend the pick. That, look, anytime you miss on a first round pick, it will come back and haunt you. Anytime you miss on a second round pick, a la Kevin Dodd, it will
still haunt
come back and hurt you. And they are just trying to make up that missed pick a lot earlier. And instead of taking a wide receiver, which I thought we all thought that they were going to do in the second or even the third round, instead they did the makeup right tackle move.
Zach Bingham joins us, A to Z Sports, here on Blaine and Mickey, our brother.
Yeah, since we're, you know, talking to our brother from another mother, you know, what did you think about Fitzpatrick? I like him as a player, Dez, a wide receiver from Louisville, but I thought they gave up a little too much going up to get him. And it seems like that was a desperate, you know, panic move because they hadn't got the receiver yet. He could probably turn out to be a really good player. I don't know if he can even be the number three guy, or maybe even number two guy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he's in a great spot because he's going to a team that doesn't really have a lot of notable depth, right, that he can really make a move. And training camp is going to get his opportunity to see if he can be in that number one slot. I think it confirmed what the Titans think about Josh Reynolds and the contract, even though it was just 1 year, $1.75 million. They obviously think he's wide receiver two behind A.J. Brown. But to be honest, I think, and this is, you talk about hot takes, Mickey, this is my take of the draft. I think that the Tennessee Titans draft changed in the third round. When they traded away their 85th overall pick to the Packers, in which they took Amari Rodgers, I think they kind of got had by pick number 81, 82, and 83. And if you go back,
who was that pick?
Hunter Long was taken by the Dolphins, tight end out of Boston College. Mike Vrabel has ties there.
Yeah.
Miami Brown, wide receiver out of North Carolina. By the Washington football team. There's your wide receiver that was highly touted, had really, really good stats.
Good stuff.
North Carolina.
And then the guy that played to me, like the tight end, go ahead and hit him with this.
Tommy Trimble out of Notre Dame. Those three picks forced the Tennessee Titans to shift, and they found a trade partner in Green Bay. And I don't know this. This is my personal opinion, but diagnosing it and kind of reading the tea leaves and what John Robinson said after the press conference or after the draft in his press conference and before the pre-draft press conference, that was the game changing moves of the draft where he had to change it. And I don't think that it was the draft that they thought it was going to be because of those three picks.
Good stuff, man. I didn't watch it live, but hearing that, I completely agree with that because I don't know why we drafted Monty Rice so high and he wasn't coveted to be that high of a pick. And the sense of urgency to get a linebacker, granted, I know both of their contracts are up after this year. I've talked about that numerous times, but I'm not going to take a guy in the third round. He must have been the highest rated guy on their board. I mean, I love Molden, but Rice, that was a curveball.
They're replacing Rashawn Evans. That's what they just told us, right? I mean, yeah. The actions speak louder than words. And you see from them not picking up Rashawn Evans' fifth-year option to drafting an inside linebacker that high, I think we can kind of tell what they think about Rashawn Evans. Now, he may pop like Corey Davis did last year and have his best year of his career, but the problem is that he's probably going to go elsewhere and get more money from another team if he has the best year of his career because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. So that tells me they kind of drafted under but over Rashawn Evans because Rashawn Evans is a first-round pick that had a disappointing year last year for a first-round pick.
No doubt about it. One with A to Z, Zach Bingham. I guess one more for me, and then that is, you know, they've signed some guys today. You know, and then Fred Brown and the receiver that's not played very much. Not to say that he won't be solid, but has there been anything that kind of bothers you or annoys you or things that you liked maybe about the Titans draft, offseason moves, free agency signings that you want to get off your chest that you haven't got off your chest on our show, the Blaine and Mickey show? It really just tethers you all the time and you just like, oh, my God, I got every time it gives me chill bumps, I'm so pissed.
I mean, I'll tell you, it starts at the top of the draft. It's Caleb Farley. That is a massive risk after you just botched your first round pick in Isaiah Wilson. You're now taking a massive chance on a guy with two back procedures that, I mean, he re-injured the thing in training after a powerlifting injury to start the thing. And I understand the value. He would not have been there at 22 had he not had those back procedures. But you're now, I mean, that's the future. I look at the first round draft picks by John Robinson. Look, he has had some dynamic picks in his career as general manager of the Tennessee Titans. He drafted Derrick Henry in the second round, who has been and is the best running back in the NFL. Credit where credit is due. But his first round picks, he doesn't sign them to extensions. He doesn't sign them to second contracts. Jeffrey Simmons is probably the guy that will get a second contract. It's trending in that direction. But all the other guys, Corey Davis, no. Adoree Jackson, he picked up his fifth-year option, but then he cut him. So if you go down the line, Jack Conklin, he didn't get a second contract from the Titans. Your first-round pick, you have to draft for 8 years, not for four. And that's been a big flaw in the first round for John Robinson as general manager. And now you're taking another risk after the, I have to hold my tongue, of the disaster that is Isaiah Wilson, not even playing football somewhere in Miami wearing a panda pendant. And now you have Caleb Farley, who has a lot of question marks. Now he can prove everybody wrong with his play, but he's working behind the eight ball going before he's even played a snap in the NFL.
Okay. Well, what grade do you give John Robinson? Not for this draft, just in his career as a GM with the Titans.
Oh, as a general manager, I'll tell you both. This year I give him a C+ because I think there's a lot of question marks. Overall, as a general manager, and look, the three of us talking, we all know what the Titans were. A lot of people listening to 104.5 The Zone right now, they remember Mariota being drafted and Zach Mettenberger and Ken freaking Wisenhunt and that disaster, right? So John Robinson has brought them a long way. I think he has been an A general manager. He took them to an AFC championship game. He's made really tough decisions in getting rid of Mularkey and hiring Mike Vrabel and putting pieces in place. Nobody's a perfect GM. But for this franchise and where they were and where they are, that's an A job.
Yeah, and he got Tannehill too, which is the most important position, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. We're on with A to Z, Zach Bingham.
So we talked about a lot of things that you don't like.
Well, you asked me the questions. You asked me what I don't like, I'll tell you.
we put on a fire suit when you come on, and we ask for the flames. Yes. I mean, we're engulfed in flames right now. And that's what we wanted from this visit. So, no, you're delivering the goods just as we knew you would. So let's hose down the fire some with maybe what you did like. A lot of people seem to like the Elijah Molden pick. Great value. That seems like a good one. Blaine likes him. I mean, he played this. You know, he played DB in the NFL. He likes that dude. I like that dude. What do you say?
I like that this draft had an identity. And so I'll put it all in encompassing. You can question a lot of these picks, but at least I understand what John Robinson was trying to do. And we've talked through them, right? Like Monty Rice, I get that could be Rashawn Evans's replacement, especially with Jayon Brown only being in a 1-year contract worth $5.3 million. I understand Dylan Radin's drafting him to for the mistake of Wilson. Caleb Farley, I understand that, and I think a lot of that was influenced by the success that is Jeffrey Simmons. Backs and ACLs are different, but they found value from a guy that was probably a top 10 pick in the 20s. I understand that. In the bottom half of the draft, they went to go get wide receiver, as we talked about, Des Fitzpatrick. He's going to get opportunity. Racy McMath out of LSU. I mean, he didn't get a lot of playing time, understandably, because he just had some really bad dudes in front of him by the names of, you know, Jefferson, Jamar Chase, the list goes on, Terrence Marshall Jr. So maybe he's going to get opportunity. But after things settled, I understood what John Robinson did. And because I just gave him an A grade as a general manager as a whole, there's some trust already built in there that he knows what he's doing.
Okay. Rashad Weaver, a lot of people like that draft pick. Then things happen, extenuating circumstances. What, the day after the draft, we start to find out, or 2 days after, we start to find out about something that went down in Pittsburgh and some legal trouble and all that stuff. Should the Titans have known about that? Should the Titans, should he not have been picked? Should they have had that knowledge? Or do you say the way the events went down, you don't think they should have known? Or it's okay they didn't know?
It's a great question. There is a timeline, but the answer is yes, they should have known. They're a billion-dollar corporation. You have $1 billion, hire somebody to find that out.
Yeah.
You guys give me $1 billion, I can find out whatever the hell I need to find out, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't do that up until the pick. And when you draft a guy, you only get so many selections in the draft. There's only, you know, 250 around that picks in the entire draft. You have to get them right. You have the pick of the litter of 32 teams in 7 rounds. You have to know who you're drafting and what they've done. It was 2 weeks prior, right? It wasn't like it was the night before. You have to do your research because there is public relations. There is a website called Twitter.com. They know that there's a firestorm coming, and they didn't protect it themselves, and they're going to – They've already felt the aftermath. I will say this. I wouldn't be surprised. This is my personal opinion. I've read the story. It has to play out in legal terms. But we've seen this before in the NFL. Athlete gets in trouble. Court date set. This happened in May, really mid-April. They got time, right? So they're going to let things kind of settle down and – the court system or a possible settlement may come to fruition, then they just delay his contract signing if that in fact gets resolved. I think that's a wait and see process. It's no excuse not to know before you draft a guy. But I think, again, I'm just being honest because we've seen this before. That's kind of how I feel that they're waiting to see if it plays out that way in their benefit.
I got to ask you this, Zach, then. How in the heck do you give him an overall A for his whole totality as a GM when he botched that? Then it's his responsibility whether he had somebody else do it or not, as well as the Panda pick. The Panda pick is you botched that? That's a fireable offense.
Well, so you got, and fair, those are specifics, but when you asked me overall grade, I actually took a step back. You can't see me, but I took a step back and okay. I said,
this is Zoom. Yeah.
I said, where did they start? They were picking number one overall and number two overall. Where have they just come from? AFC championship appearance and AFC South championship.
Yeah.
Or champions, right? They won the division for the first time since 2008.
Yeah.
That's progress. That's really good progress. Now, good to great. You know, we heard that. They've gotten to a point. Now the real work begins. Super Bowl window is real. Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's contract is real. AJ Brown will have to be signed next year. That is real. Over the next 2 to 3 years, you better find a way to beat Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And whoever the hell's coming up behind you, like the Indianapolis Colts. And let me tell you, Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, I've said this, if they hit, big trouble on the horizon in the AFC South. The time is now. So he's done an outstanding job to take them from ground zero to perennial playoff contender.
But that's now, the easy part, though.
Say again?
If you weigh it, that's the easier part. And when I say the easier part, but the harder part is to maintain and continually be a contender from here on out. And you botched two picks the last 2 years?
I know. Mickey mentioned it, though. Or both of you guys did. They got the quarterback that they believe in.
Yeah.
Key, they believe in. They signed Ryan Tannehill to a $100 million contract. Actions speak louder than words. That tells us they believe in number 17 to get them to where they need to be. And so they can build around him. They got to give him help, more help than, you know, third and fifth round picks and wide receiver. But they have to give him help, and they can, and they've got a couple of years to do it.
Fred Brown.
Right? Yeah.
Well, downtown Fred Brown.
They got to get better wide receivers than that. No disrespect to Fred Brown, but they need guys that have the AJ Brown mindset and mentality. Go grab the ball and find the pylon. Once you get those guys, those dogs on the field, that's when you really start to succeed. And eventually Tannehill and Derrick Henry are going to need some help because they're going to age just like everybody.
No doubt about it, man. Well said, Zach. One more thing. Since we're talking about Tannehill, what do you think about all this nonsense that the Titans were on the list for one of Aaron Rodgers? You know, and I love Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong. I like Tannehill a lot too. But I don't know if you're going after Aaron Rodgers right now at this point.
You know, that's ESPN.com offseason talk, right? I mean, that's just called what it is.
We all talked about it. It worked.
It worked. It worked. Yep. Look, it's fun to dream, right? It's what fans are. It's what football is. Hope. You know, the season's over. Now, you know, the Bucs were champions last year. Now it's anybody's game. It's fun to think about, but it's, I think, a pipe dream because the Titans signed Tannehill to that contract. That tells me something. I don't think they want to give up what the Packers want for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Packers don't even know if they do or do not want Aaron Rodgers. I still think that's being figured out. But if you can get Aaron Rodgers for a price that you feel comfortable with, I am all for that because as an NFL great, and as we've seen in sports, guys like that, cerebral quarterbacks or athletes, can get you over the top. The Titans are right there. They're trying to get over the top. Do I think it will happen? No, I do not. But history shows that if you get that type of guy, he'll get you to where you want to be. Ask LeBron James last year for the Lakers. Ask Tom Brady. We've seen it before, and it can happen again, but I think that's just ESPN.com getting millions of clicks to throw seven franchises out there so seven fan bases click on that article.
Wow, man. Zach Bingham bringing the heat from A to Z Sports, the brother from another mother.
No doubt, Zach. Great stuff. People can follow you and at @Bada_Bingham. There's always great content. You're always putting stuff out there and putting out the A to Z content. People can find you there. A to Z Sports, Nashville.com, correct? Is that right here? Okay, good deal, man. We appreciate the time as always. Fantastic stuff. You did exactly what we wanted you to, man. Thank you. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Oh.
Zach Bingham, A to Z Sports. He says goodbye. And when we come back, we'll say hello with this. John Glennon put this out a little bit earlier. Off-season dates for the Titans. When are they going to be doing something? We got that next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Some video making the rounds. Blaine said he saw it yesterday of a woman dragging a live alligator by the tail out of a restaurant.
It's a baby just, alligator.
Yeah. But I mean, like, holding it up about what, 3 feet long or something, probably, yeah. It looks like. Hey, man. If she doesn't get a raise or employee of the month or something, y'all are doing it wrong down there, because she just manhandled that thing right by the end of the tail, and that thing snapping, like, yah, yah, trying to get her. Nothing, man. She knew exactly what to do.
She was kind of filtering through the crowd, too, like through tables and people sitting there, and the thing was moving out left and right. I mean, man, that's a, you know what? That's a great question. Anybody seen something crazy while they've been out, you know, with somebody with an animal? Like, you know, whether it's fighting an animal or, you know, pulling an animal out of a, you know, or some animal coming up to your door, talking about feed me, you know, whatever, a tiger. I mean, like, oh my God, I would have been scared of that little baby alligator. I'm assuming that was in Florida, because that's the only seemed like a place that could happen. But I could be wrong. I have no idea. But that thing, I wouldn't have grabbed that tail of that alligator. That thing would have been going through there. And I'm like, yeah, I better get out.
I mean, most people would have jumped on a table, and people just, like you said, I'll tweet it out from the Blaine and Mickey Twitter account. I got to find it. But she drags that thing through a full restaurant of people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, and like, well, takes it out to the deck. Yeah.
They was eating gator, fried gator.
He's like, hey, man, that's my mama. I came to fix this situation. Y'all eating somebody I know. But yeah, man, she just dominates that thing again. It's I'll find it. I'll retweet it. Rex Chapman, I think, is where the account came from. But yeah,
I got Rex on my alerts, boy. He be having me dying laughing. Especially what does he call it? What's his thing? His stain that he has on all of his tweets, with something crazy like that on there. Facts or fiction? No, that's not it. It's man, he used to say something on there all the time. He must have took it off.
Well, he tweets so much. I have to kind of come and go off the Rex Twitter account there. But yeah, there is some funny stuff, some great dog videos, and a young lady ridding a restaurant of an alligator. Per John Glennon, Titans rookie minicamp May 14th through 16th. Titans mandatory minicamp June 15 through 17. I think I saw maybe Teron Davenport had also tweeted that, but John Glennon was the first guy I saw with that information. NFL offseason calendar updated, put together, teams going to put their rookies on the field. Again, mandatory minicamp. We don't know who all will be on the field and how much. Mandatory minicamp set for June 15 through 17. Lucas just sent a message. We got a phone call. David from Gallatin is on, and he's PO'd. Is that right? David, are you mad? What's going on, man?
Uh-oh. I am so pissed. Listen, the NFL, even if they don't have the combine, they do psychological testing on every person, every player, like 500-600 yeah. players. I was associated or knew Dr. Robert Troutwine, who did the testing, made up the test called the TAP, the Troutwine Aptitude Profile, the TAP, the TAP. And it is freaky accurate. Freaky. So when John Robinson drafts Dodd, they're still looking for a pass rusher because he drafted Dodd, and they're still looking for a tackle because of Wilson. And now that this draft, they have a problem with their fourth round tight end, whatever. But this is all unnecessary. When John Robinson gets on the radio and says, "Boy, Wilson sure wasn't the same guy that we talked to at Georgia," that is wrong, because you know I'll tell you who uses the TAP. The Army uses the TAP. The State Department uses the TAP. Target uses the TAP. Bill Belichick uses the TAP, and they don't have these problems. This is all unnecessary. And to say, well, boy, he's sure not the guy. Same guy we interviewed at Georgia is BS.
Man, appreciate the phone call. David, saying the NFL team should do a better job of tapping that with the tap.
Tapping it with
for
the
Bill
tap.
Belichick, though, the one maybe that got away, I would say, what about Aaron Hernandez? How did he fool the tap? But I certainly get it. Having information, the Isaiah Wilson thing, Blaine, is going to haunt Titans fans. It's going to haunt John Robinson for the rest of his career, no matter where he goes, because to have a first round draft pick who played four plays, and you were generous to allow those four plays because there was really nothing to suggest, you know, he had multiple
out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what Jamarcus Russell played 3 years. I mean, even the biggest bust typically had at least a shot at it. At least those guys were on the field. This guy couldn't even get on the field. You know, he had multiple run-ins with the law and a couple of different COVID issues, and he had different things, car wrecks and trips to Florida, and, you know, to the point that it just seemed like they threw up their hands and just said, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. And the fact that Miami traded them anything for that pick, the fact that anybody did, that might have been the worst pick. Well, that's the worst pick he'll ever make as a general manager. But that might have been the best thing he ever did, was to get anything for that guy to get his salary off the books. I mean, just to correct his own mistake. And I will say this for Kevin Dodd. He hurt his foot, and he was a pass rusher. And I went back the other night and Googled Kevin Dodd foot, and it just seems like he was never right after that. Mm-hmm. Now, is he still out there banging away and trying to be some kind of journeyman? No, he's not. But he was – when you're that big – and your livelihood depends that much on being able to push off your foot into a man who's 320, 330, 340, whatever offensive lineman is, that just got him. Feet and pass rushers are a bad mix.
Yeah, I'm interested to learn more about this tap, because I don't know if I took a tap. They might not have had that back in 93. They had the IQ test, right?
They had the Wonderlic test, yeah.
Wonderlic, yeah, we had the Wonderlic. Yeah, they would ask some old crazy, silly questions.
Yeah, but I
are they
again,
trying to stump me? Are they trying to stump me? Or are they just really?
Oh, no, they're trying to stump you. They say on that Wonderlic test, you just go through and answer every one. Because some of them you look at and you go, okay, that's D. You know, and then the next one you look at and you think, I don't even know what they're asking.
Right.
And then, you know, and then the next one you're like, maybe that's C. I always heard that the advice given to those guys was take that sucker as soon as they say go, just roll through it, answer everything you can answer, and then, you know, make a mark next to anything you think, I'll go back and try to figure this one out. But
oh, I don't think a lot of guys go back and you try to figure nothing out. I think they just like, whoop, that's it, I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Besides some of the quarterbacks and some of the smart guys like myself, you know, yeah, we make sure I get a nice little 20 on that.
But you're right. A bunch of guys would just roll through it and be like, I didn't come here to take a test, man. Throw me the ball.
I got like an 8 or somebody. I mean, I remember Dan Marino did low one. I'm like, you had to try to get that. That means you didn't even read. You just marked it. Some guys, I'm telling you now, some guys are going to that and go, I'm marking C for every answer, and then I'm done. I'm like, I've heard them say it. And I'm going, what?
Dude, I got
this. They don't even care.
I had like, this is a true story, and I know we got to take the break. I had like 13, 14 questions left on the science part of the ACT. And the guy said time. And I wrote C on every one of them, and I made a 30 on the science part of the ACT. Always put C, kids. Blaine and Mickey, we'll be right back after this.